Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And for those of you who listen to me on a fairly regular basis, you know how interested I am in areas of research regarding wellness. We are coming forth in so many levels with such speed, and yet at the same time, it seems as if we're back in the dark ages. Well, we're going to be talking today with Dr. Randolph Howes. He is a physician, he's a surgeon, he's a scientist and biochemist. This man has an incredible background, and when it came time for him to make a choice about retiring from his expansive educational and medical career, he decided to take up a new banner, a banner of information that is meant to educate us, the public, who does not have exposure into the world that he's got. He wants to inform us, keep us abreast of some information that will serve us well if we're willing to keep an open mind. I want to welcome to the show Dr. Howes. Hello, Doctor.
Hi, Donna. It's a great pleasure to be with you today.
Well, I'm delighted to have you as a guest. Do you mind if I call you Randolph?
That'd be fine.
I would like to ask you a little bit about your past, because you were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but
No.
You had some kind of a vision or experience that made you aware of what you were going to do when you grew up. Can you tell us how that came about?
Well, actually, from the time that I was a small child, I always realized that a career in medicine was what was in store for me. It was just a natural. I didn't really have to try to figure out what I was going to do. One of the events that, you know, as I went through my education, I even recall a previous student saying when I was in the third grade, I was, you know, telling everyone I was going to be a doctor. And yet I was raised on a very small strawberry farm in rural Louisiana. But I just knew what I wanted to do, knew what I had to do, and I have a lot to contribute. My claim to fame is the invention of the triple lumen venous catheter, and that has been credited with helping save the lives of over 20 million critically ill patients worldwide. It went on to become the number one venous catheter in the world. But what I'm working on now, Donna, on oxygen metabolism, is going to revolutionize the way that we treat cancer and heart disease in the developed countries and the ways that we treat malaria and HIV/AIDS in underdeveloped or third world countries.
You have two publications. You've written a number of items, but these are two publications that are recent. One is called Antioxidant Overkill, and then the other one is titled Dangers of Excessive Antioxidants in Cancer Patients. Now, the first book, Antioxidant Overkill, you put it together as a guide for the layperson. You didn't try to get into heavy intellectual terminology that you felt they'd be uncomfortable with. And I know that when I was reading through it, I thought this really opens up a whole new series of paradigms for people, and I think it's very, very important. First, let's talk for a moment about the oxygen metabolism. What is that? What are you speaking to when you're mentioning that term?
Well, what we're referring to, and what is important about this, is that some of the most important, some of the key biochemical pathways in the body are oxidative. In other words, they involve this process called oxidation, just the opposite of what we're familiar with antioxidants. Antioxidants are agents or compounds that are supposed to block or sop up or mop up or stop or passivate or quench, any of these terms, these oxygen-free radicals. And you've heard of the term free radical before.
Oh, yes.
This is just a term meaning that a molecule has an and unpaired outer orbital electron. We don't need to get into that. But just keep in mind that there are oxidants that do wonderful things, and there are antioxidants that can block those things that the oxygen free radicals are doing. For example, when we take in bacteria into a white blood cell in our body to kill it, this is oxidative. We generate these oxygen free radicals to kill the bacteria. The same thing with fungi, the same thing with protozoans like malaria, and the same thing with even viruses such as HIV/AIDS. We can oxidatively inactivate it because it has a fatty coat on it. But more important even than these is the ability to kill cancer cells. The way that this is done is the little oxygen-free radicals tell the cancer cell that their messages, their little chemical messages that tell the cancer cell to kill itself, to commit suicide. It has a big fancy name. It's called apoptotic execution. And in doing so, these little oxygen radicals help control new cancer growth. See, I had to rethink this, Donna. I thought that, you know, we'd all went along till the fifth, sixth, or seventh decade, and suddenly we'd develop cancer. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that way. The potential for cancer is always there. This is why some children are even born with cancer. And what happens is that the body has to keep these new cancer cells, neoplastic cells, in abeyance, keep them killed off. And the primary way that it does this, it does it in other ways too, but the primary way is oxidatively. So let me just pose the question then, what would you guess would happen if you overload yourself with antioxidants?
The body's going to go through a challenge.
That's right. You're going to be protecting the cancer cells themselves.
And now, that is hard to believe. That is something that I think most people would say, oh, no, you couldn't be right about that. How could that possibly happen?
In the book, Donna, Dangers of Excessive Antioxidants in Cancer Patients, that this is shocking. The data is absolutely shocking. I present 27 specific human cancer cell types that are shielded by antioxidants. I present 9 specific types in rodents and mice and in rats. And I present 118 studies in that book that show the ineffectiveness of antioxidants in cancer treatment. And 39 of those studies show the harmful effects of these antioxidants in humans. We're not talking about laboratory studies now.
Mm-hmm.
But now, keep in mind, if I have a cell culture growing these cancer cells, and I want to kill them, I put some oxygen-free radicals in there, and I can kill them. I can have them kill themselves. If I want to protect them and keep them growing, I put some antioxidants in there, and they keep growing. Now,
wow.
That is absolutely shocking. And the studies that I present in the book, Dangers of Excessive Antioxidants in Cancer Patients, was on approximately 11 million human participants. This isn't just a shot in the dark or an opinion or a testimonial. Again, this is going to the scientific data. And Donna, what's more important is that the very intent of chemotherapy and radiation is to do what? Is to generate oxygen-free radicals. That's how they work. Chemotherapy works via the production of the oxygen-free radicals. Radiation will hardly work if you take oxygen out of the environment that it's being given in. So to take antioxidants is going against the specific intent of both chemotherapy and radiation. And this is what I found is there in the data. Once you become aware of the data, it's almost, I tell you, that there should be a legal liability of pushing these things on patients who are cancer survivors. And there are 12 million cancer survivors in America alone. And yet
wow.
Many of them are being encouraged to take these antioxidant supplements.
I want to quote something out of your book that you have, and it's right in the beginning. It says, logically wide-ranging antioxidant agents which block oxidation, food industry is highlighted, preservatives, rancidity, spoilage and browning, the rubber and plastics industry, the pharmaceutical industry, antioxidants in beverages and herbal products, antioxidants in all processed foods, outside of the body have the capability to block oxidation inside of the body if ingested and absorbed, and there may be as many as 25,000 phytochemicals in the human diet, many having direct antioxidant effects. And you talk about the overload, and one of the things that has been in my experience, and I'm sure many Americans identify with it, it's the attitude more is better.
Absolutely.
But this is where less is more.
Absolutely. And the other approach of many people is that, well, as you say, if a little is good, then a lot must be real good.
Mm-hmm.
Or the approach that, well, maybe it won't help me, but it certainly won't hurt me. Neither of those are true today. We know they're not true. And here we have cancer survivors who take, that they have a higher percentage of taking antioxidant supplements than does the average population, because
mm-hmm.
they've been misled to believe that these things are good for them. And what we're seeing, as you suggested there, is that we're getting antioxidants from all over the place. This is how we're overloading on them now. I think a big example in the news just in the last week or so was with this BPA again, and that stands for bisphenol A. And this is the compound that was used to treat the lining of baby bottles and sippy cups and such. Well, the data became clear enough that it caused cancer, that it's been taken out of the baby bottles and the sippy cups. But I promise you, it's in nearly all Americans right now. If you do a urine sample on any of us, you're going to find BPA there, and it's a strong antioxidant. In fact, if you look at teenagers, there's about 30% more in teenagers because they're always drinking on a drink of some kind from a plastic container or from a can,
mm-hmm.
and this BPA is in the lining of that. So they're overloading. We're just overloading on these things from everywhere. And any food that can suffer spoilage or a change of color or a change in odor, they will put these preservatives from the petrochemical industry into them. So they're getting into the feedlots with our cattle. They're getting into the feedlots for pork. They're getting into the aquifers for fish food. Anywhere that it can be introduced in there as an antioxidant to block oxidation, it's being put into it. And here we're on the end of that food chain, and we're just loading up on these things. And that's the problem with this cumulative effect. Now, if we just relied on the ones that we got, now we need a certain amount of antioxidants in the body.
Mm-hmm.
They actually provide the electrons to let us form these oxygen-free radicals. But the problem is, and if we just took those in from fresh fruits and vegetables, we'd be fine. But we're not. We're getting, I mean, you know, these kids today won't even drink water. It has to be vitamin water.
Right. And I remember when that vitamin water came out, and what ran through my mind is, how do you know the claims that they're claiming in these bottles is actually real? How do you know that? And not only that, but with what we found out about plastics, one of the things, let me digress for just a moment. I remember hearing a warning regarding soda pop, both in cans as well as in plastic bottles, but especially with plastic bottles. If you see anything on display outside of a store that is exposed to sunshine, then you shouldn't buy it, because the molecular structure of the liquid inside both the can as well as in the plastic bottles has an effect. There is some kind of, and I'm not a chemist, but a caustic effect that allows things to seep into the drink. And you're ingesting that. And I'm going, oh, my gracious. Now, this was at least 5 years ago when they were making comments about that, and all of a sudden that warning disappeared. And I doubt many people give that consideration. And it's something that I see people giving their children, little people, these drinks, whether it is soda pop or it is fruit juices or something else, out of these items that have been sitting out in the sun for quite a while. I mean, this is something that's very hard to get across to the general public.
Absolutely. Well, see, the public, when they find out, when I talk to people and they find out that there is no governmental agency that regulates in any way the dietary supplements. They're rather shocked about that. They think somebody's watching all these things. Who? They're not. The FDA is busy enough trying to watch what we call the medicines or drugs that are approved through the FDA, but they're not watching the dietary supplements. And every now and then, you'll see a new article coming out showing the contamination in these supplements, and you will see the lack of quality control for concentration of the claimed ingredients in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the DSHEA, that was the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act of 1994, that's where the problem started, because all of these supplements were categorized as foods and not as medicines or drugs. So that's why there's no governmental regulations on any of these. The only thing that they cannot do is use four words, and those four words are treat, cure, prevent, or diagnose any medical illness. Let me repeat that for you. These supplements cannot be claimed to treat any disease, to prevent any disease, to diagnose any disease, or to cure any disease. But when you hear their advertisements or watch their advertisements, they have such far-ranging medical claims that it just blows my mind. But there's no regulation there. They can use any other word. Oh, it'll boost your immunity. It'll increase your brain power. It will help stave off cancer. Oh, my goodness, the claims are everywhere now, and people go for it. They don't know any better. They haven't had time to research this. Even people in the medical field themselves take higher rates of antioxidants than does the normal population. In all honesty, I used to take them myself years ago until I started to research it. And then I said, oh, my God, I've been conned again. Look at what the data actually shows. And that's part of the problem. And this is why it is so important that people like yourself are trying to inform the public of the potential harm. And then, as I say, it's kind of like Russian roulette. I don't advise it, but if you know the consequences and that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it.
You have a gentleman that you mention in your book, Denham Harmon, who is
yes.
a doctor, and he was really not feeling all that well, and this was a physician that was pretty conscientious. He really wanted to take care of himself. He was very honest with the physician that he went to, Dr. Chalam. He said, what are you taking? And Dr. Harmon said, well, I'm taking 400 units of vitamin E, 2,000 of vitamin C, 100 micrograms of selenium and 30 megagrams of CoQ10 each day, and 25,000 units of beta-carotene every day. And he was talking about being fatigued, and I was astonished when I read that with everything he was taking too much for him. And
that's
it was
right.
actually causing this fatigue and causing muscle problems. So I would say to you, because every human being is different. Our metabolisms are different. Some of us may need more of something than another. How in the world can an individual make an evaluation about what is healthy for them?
The individual cannot. You're going to have to rely on someone like myself, who has had the time, the industriousness to research this out, and to just present you the facts. I'm not trying to sell you a bottle of anything. And I'm not sitting here saying, you know, order this today for $19.95 and I'll send you two bottles of this stuff. That's not my case. My case is one in which I'm trying to inform the public. The public has the right to know the truth. But you know, Donna, even just this past 2 weeks, there have been three articles coming out incriminating antioxidant vitamins. The vitamin E increasing prostate cancer, multivitamins increasing the risk of death in females, and another. And you know, the response on the Internet of the average person in the comment section is such that they don't want to believe the studies. That they think that the studies were put out there by the pharmaceutical industry to shut down the supplement industry, which are cheap, and then you'll have to buy these expensive drugs and medicines. Well, that's not the case at all in my case. In my case, I write a medical editorial every week. And I stay very hard on the pharmaceutical industry. They really worry me. In fact, they scare me. We know that there are 106,000 deaths from drugs in a year's time. That's a conservative estimate. And that they put over 8 million in the emergency rooms from adverse reactions to drugs that have been tested by the FDA, that have undergone arduous scientific tests, and they kill 106,000 people a year. Well, now look at all of these dietary supplements that have no governmental regulations at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous out there.
It really is, but again, I pose the question, is there a test people can take to find out, one, do they need nutritional supplementation? Two, how do you gauge it, if that is possible? And three, where would you go to find this information out? I know of someone that I can think of right at this moment who I know for a fact is suffering malnutrition. I know it for a fact.
Uh-huh.
And they go in for tests, and some things are coming out, and I go, what do you do? How does a person work with their body so that they help the body stay healthy? And when you look at how foods are grown, and a lot of foods have been tested, and they're finding nutritionally lacking. We have so many things that are not really healthy, and we have so many processed foods that are on the shelves that people are ingesting at a level that is unprecedented. So you have these things. What would you say to someone like me that's asking you the question, how do we evaluate if we need supplementation? Look at vitamin D. People in northern climates, I mean, we're getting all kinds of research on this. But vitamin D can be toxic, extremely toxic to the body if you take too much. How do you evaluate this?
That's a very good point. And first of all, well, vitamin D, let's just discuss it just very briefly. Vitamin D is almost more of a hormone than it is a vitamin. That's just why you have to know the chemistry of what these things are. You can't drop them all under one big umbrella called vitamins. That won't work. You have to look at the specific chemical activity of each and every one of them. And when it comes to vitamin D, it's actually not an antioxidant. The vitamin D3 is a very good prooxidant. And this is why I think that we're seeing the salutary effects with it in terms of decreasing a lot of the risks for cancer, heart disease, et cetera. When it comes to the normal person, though, we're finding, and this is primarily, I think, the overall opinion of the experts, is that a normal, balanced, nutritional diet that contains fresh fruits and vegetables, that has some red meat in it, that has frequent fish in it, et cetera, is going to provide adequate nutrition for the average person. You do not need these supplements. And the problem comes in is that when they start taking them, these are concentrated doses of these supplements, that's when they start getting to the antioxidant overkill. Now, you can go to your physician, and he can take a blood sample. It's a simple thing to do, and tell you if you have a specific nutritional deficiency. If you do, then you want to correct that, but not many people are going to come up on that side of things. Now, however, there are those who are really pushing this approach of measuring your levels and then giving you a specific, for you, an individualized treatment with these antioxidant supplements and other supplements. One who's doing this a lot is Dr. Andrew Weil. And if you go to his website, I mean, they're selling these things like they're hotcakes. And I just caution people, again, to think about the profit motive and to think about scientific truth when you're looking at these kinds of things. The profit motive drives so much of this that that's what has gotten us into the problem right now. There's going to be 6 million tons of antioxidant vitamins sold this year. 6 million tons!
Oh, my goodness. That's almost hard to believe.
Yeah, well, the industry overall now, the dietary supplement industry, is a $28 billion industry. And what people don't understand is that there are those who say that the pharmaceutical industry owns about half now of the supplement industry. So they're pushing these things, too. They're being pushed everywhere. There are extremely strong marketing forces out there that are pushing these things, and they're doing it in a very dangerous way. And in my opinion, as I say, in a way that because of the data now, and I have data now on almost 16 million human beings in studies, in a way in which they're really endangering the public health. And it's becoming a public health issue because of the size of the problem. When you think about in America, you know, 50% of the people taking these dietary supplements, a large percentage of which are antioxidants, that starts to give you some perspective of the numbers involved of people who are needlessly exposing themselves to the harmful effects of antioxidant overload or overkill.
You have a comment in your book by Dr. Pradeep Ramulu of the Wilmer Eye Institute at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. And I was very intrigued with this because I have been hearing more and more about macular degeneration, and he talks about that and diabetic retinopathy, and he said, I believe that the increase in retinal eye diseases is due to the increased intake of antioxidants, both supplements and fortified foods. We're dealing with issues today where children are often taking a lot of food in that, one, is processed, and two, is vitamin fortified. Now, this started, right, if I'm correct, especially with bread back in the 40s. Was it in the 40s, or did it start in the 30s, where they had vitamin-enriched flour and then vitamin-enriched milk, and all these things were just, you know, it was just a few things then. But now you pick up any box of cereal or whatever, and they have this fortified vitamin capacity to it. And again, it's processed. So if you're doing that, if you're eating primarily processed plus taking supplements, to find out that it's contributing to macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy, that is just scary.
It certainly is. And see, the impression was, just as macular degeneration, we thought that it would make things better. We thought that the antioxidants, and this is back even in the 90s, the early 90s, that we thought it would decrease the incidence of cancer, decrease heart disease, decrease strokes. We found out now, when you look at my books and all of this data, this massive amount of data that I have accumulated and assimilated, that in fact it increases the incidence of cancer, increases the incidence of heart disease, increases the incidence of strokes, and it increases your chances of dying by a conservative estimate of 5%. Now, that's shocking.
Yes, it is.
But yet, that is
absolutely amazing.
Yeah, but that is the scientific data shows.
You also talk about folic acid, and women are constantly told that folic acid, especially young women that are wanting to have children, again, to me, it is something that people just, and I know I can plead guilty to this. You think, wow, this is really important. We're busy individuals. Not many of us are going to be as thorough as you are in researching millions and millions of people's reports, et cetera, to find out what the results have been, whether the studies have been done properly. And that's another thing you bring out in your book, Antioxidant Overkill, is how many studies they say that they've gotten certain results, especially with the pharmaceutical companies and anybody that wants to promote whatever it is that they're doing. And they present it in such a way, and people go, oh, wow, they've really got these studies down. They've really done a good job. And many times they find, someone like yourself finds, when they do the research, excuse me, but this was not done well. Subjects were changed in the middle of the study. This and that and the other wasn't considered. There's a very biased twist to it. It really is something that's quite upsetting when you start reading, especially with your book, because you cover so much material in here. And I was wondering, would you stay with me for some more time? Because we're finished with this portion. We're going to take a break. And I'd love to ask you about some other things that are in your book. Would you be able to stay with me?
I would love to stay with you, Donna. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. We have Dr. Randolph Howes with us. His book is Antioxidant Overkill. The research that he has done and the information that this man is putting out is vitally important for us to be able to hear. If we do not take a positioning of willingness to educate ourselves, to be open-minded to an understanding that we have to be aware of what we're putting in our bodies, we probably can have some side effects that later on we go, gee, if only I had known. So stay with me because we're going to come back and talk some more with Dr. Howes about some other things that he's found. His book is Antioxidant Overkill. It is Crucial Prooxidant Infection and Cancer Protection. This is not light stuff, but it is very important information. We'll take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. My guest today is Professor Randolph M. Howes. He's a physician. He's a surgeon, a scientist, a biochemist, and we'll find out later how you can go to his website, find out about his extensive background in the field of medicine. This is a man that's really taken on a challenge. He's wanted to find out the truth and to go through thousands and thousands of research papers. It takes time, and none of us are going to be able to do that. But his book, Antioxidant Overkill, and he has a number of e-books, if you're interested in that, where you can go and find out something. I really wanted to mention how in your book you say the research that you're doing, we've talked about a number of different things. This could be very much of concern to a lot of people, but your research has a positive aspect to it. You're bringing out the facts, but you say the ability, our ability to naturally kill cancer, which I know for a fact is everybody carries cancer cells. There's no one I'm aware
right.
of that would not have it. It's just there. It's a part
right.
of life. It's when something goes wacky in the body that things will happen. But you talk about spontaneous regression or remission without any conventional or alternative anti-cancer therapy. This is something that happens a lot more frequently than many times the medical profession wants to even acknowledge.
That is true.
And yet we have so much cancer. I was talking to a woman the other day, and this is a person I've known for many, many years. She got a real scare when she went in for a mammogram. She thought she had breast cancer. And this is something that has just weighed very heavily on her for a long time. Well, she decided when she found out about the testing that could be done relative to whether you carry the gene that would be proactive towards this condition in the body.
Yes.
Well, she said it was thousands of dollars to do the test. She couldn't afford it, but her mother, who is in her 80s, was able to get the test done, and they do this under Medicare for her. Her mother is close to 90 years of age. She didn't have the gene. And the woman that had encouraged this kind of testing to be done had been involved with breast cancer patients for years, and she said, this is stunning to me. So many of this woman's family, the women, have ended up with breast cancer. And I just said, okay, we've got to find out what the source is. What is the cause? What's going on here? What is the trigger in the body? And there's so many things that in our world today that we wouldn't have imagined our bodies would even have to deal with.
Yes. Well, let me tell you what I think is the trigger, and it's more important. See, you mentioned Dr. Denham Harmon, who was the father of the free radical theory. This was the theory that said that these oxygen free radicals, by definition, are harmful and deleterious. They're going to hurt you. We've learned now that that is absolutely wrong. These oxygen free radicals are involved in crucial steps, as I mentioned, throughout the body. We only got to mention protection from pathogens, such as bacteria, and protection from cancer. But, you know, we also just touched on the fact that that one can become fatigued by taking too many of these antioxidants. Well, certainly, all energy production in human beings is oxidatively. We make ATP, adenosine triphosphate, that's our energy source, and these little mitochondria, and that's all oxidatively. Again, all you have to do is think about it with a little bit of logic, and if you overload with these antioxidants, you're going to be becoming tired. You're going to have fatigue because you have this antioxidant overload. Another area that is key of importance is wound healing. We can't heal a wound without it being an oxidative step. So what happens when you get too many of these antioxidants? You're going to start blocking these things. But more importantly, what I think, by my criticism of the free radical theory, I didn't like just criticizing it. I have to come up with something better. Something that fits the literature better, that fits the data. That I have done. And what I think is happening, and the real term for these oxygen-free radicals is wrong, because some of them, such as hydrogen peroxide, singlet oxygen, hypochlorous acid, are not free radicals at all, but they get thrown in under this big umbrella. And that's wrong that they are. They should be called electronically modified oxygen derivatives. In other words, we took ground state oxygen that we're breathing, and our bodies changed its electron structure. They're electronically modified. And that's what we're talking about. And that doesn't refer to radicality or to charge or any such thing as that. It just tells you that the body has altered its electron structure. Now, what happens is that we need a certain level of these, we'll call them oxygen-free radicals is better than using the term EMODs, which is the eponym for electronically modified oxygen derivatives. That's what we should be using, but people would be lost if we did. So let's just use the oxygen-free radicals. We have a level of that which we have to maintain, which provides us with normal health. If we drop below that level, that's when we see diseases start to manifest themselves. Not that these low levels cause the disease, but these low levels allowed the manifestation of cancer, allowed the manifestation of heart disease and plaque formation, allowed cataract formation, allowed diabetes to occur, all of these kinds of things. And that, I am just certain of it now, since I've gone through this literature so much and so intensively, that is what is happening. So we have to keep our oxidative capacity up, and these antioxidants are helping knock it down. And as you suggested a while ago, we're getting them from all over the place now. And there's a prediction right now by the National Health Organizations that there's going to be a cancer explosion worldwide, globally. Is it possible that we're introducing now these antioxidants all over the world? Well, certainly it is. Are they related? I think they are related. They may not be a one-in-one causation relationship, but they are definitely related because they are lowering our ability to protect ourselves the way that we naturally protect ourselves, which is oxidatively. You know, people assume that these antioxidant vitamins and such are all approved by the big health organizations, but they're not. I went through the literature some years ago and found a list of 32 major health organizations that do not recommend that you take these antioxidant vitamins. And that starts with the FDA, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society, the National Cancer Institute, the Institute of Medicine of National Academics, the American College of Cardiology, American College of Chest Physicians. It goes right on down the line. Or 32 of the major medical organizations do not recommend ingesting them. In fact, I could only find one medical organization that did. The Journal of the American Medical Association recommended multivitamins. And even now, Donna, we're finding that the multivitamins are becoming under scrutiny because we're really taking things that we don't need, like the selenium that you mentioned. And most of these multivitamins also have certain levels of vitamins A, vitamin C, vitamin E, and a number of other antioxidants that we don't need. And we're finding in ladies that it increases breast density, which is a precursor to breast cancer. We're finding in males that they have increased rates of prostate cancer. We're finding in children that children taking the multivitamins are now starting to show up with increased risk of allergies, with increased risk of asthma. So it's not so simple at all as we used to think. And this is what people have to consider. Maybe you don't want to consider this data for yourself, but please consider it for your loved ones who you are giving these things to. Are you really helping them, or are you, in fact, hurting them? As one of the authors of an article in Newsweek in January of this year said, you know, we may be slowly poisoning ourselves. But people have been so brainwashed that they can hardly even start to deal with that concept.
Well, I think that the future of medicine is that we're going to actually be able to deal with people on an individual basis. And I think that that is something that when it does evolve, it's going to be such a big step forward because everybody has changes in the body. And I think good nutrition is important. But there is a factor, and that is a pill isn't necessarily going to do it. And in our culture today, that is something that has been promoted so strongly. Take this pill, and everything's going to be better. Dr. Lichtenstein, I think that you had quoted in your book, he said, if people still have a lousy diet, if they're not willing to exercise, if they're not willing to take care of themselves, there isn't a pill in the world that's going to fix them.
That's right. And people want a quick fix. And there is no quick fix in this area. That's what they have to understand. One has to, and you mentioned exercise, and you mentioned it previously, and we do need to discuss that. By the way, I have a brand new book that will be on Amazon.com within a week's time. And it's entitled Sports, Athletes, Exercise Facts, and Antioxidant Myths. Because athletes, sports doctors, trainers, dietitians, nutritionists have all been misled down this same path. They haven't had time to research this. They're not familiar with the literature. They have not kept up with it. And so these athletes, and you know how competitive athletes are, they'll do anything to get an edge over the competitors. And so they've been led to believe that these antioxidants are helping them. And the studies are coming out now showing wrong. It does not help them. It slows them down. It decreases their athletic performance. See, by the free radical theory of Dr. Horman, when we exercise, we increase our oxygen consumption 10 to 20 times our normal resting level. Well, by the free radical theory, that should be toxic. It should nearly kill us. But it doesn't. This is one of the most important and exciting things that we find in the literature is that study after study shows that exercise, as tolerated, is good for us. Well, they can't figure out why. Well, it's obvious why it's good for us. We're getting a dose of this oxygen, which is converted to these EMODs, and this increases our oxidative capacity. It helps us fight infections. It helps us fight cancer. It helps us with our energy production. It helps us with wound healing. It helps us in so many, just innumerable ways. And that's how the exercise works. So I just went, I said, you know, this needs to be pointed out to these people too. And when they started doing studies like with greyhound dogs and giving them these antioxidant vitamins, they slowed them down. They didn't speed them up. And we're starting to see now in people where the antioxidant vitamins, in terms of the benefits of exercise, is starting to block the benefits of the exercise itself. This is very important.
Well, I'll tell you what. Dr. Howes, it has been absolutely a delight having you as a guest. And what website can people go to find out about your publications so they can download them? I know you have some e-books.
Yes.
And then find out. So what's your website people can go to?
The website is IWillFindTheCure, all in lowercase, all together, IWillFindTheCure.org, O-R-G. And please let them know, Don, about the availability of, I must have 7 books now available on Amazon.com, and they're available at their local bookstores if they just, you know, ask them about them. Mm-hmm. And I have made the publishers keep the prices as low as they will let me put it, because the purpose here is to inform the people, not to get rich off of it. Any funds that I make off of this that does come in will be used for cancer and heart disease research. I'm in a position where I can do that, and that is my dream come true, would be able to bring these whole principles that I've outlined here to the patient's bedside in my lifetime. But it's getting shorter, Don. I'm getting kind of old now, so.
Well, Dr. Howe, as long as you can do what so many of us can't do, it will really be a benefit to all of us. Dr. Randolph Howes, go to his website, IWillFindTheCure.org. And again, it's up to us to be open to education. And sometimes it may be difficult to make some shifts and changes in our thinking, but that's what life is all about. It's about growing into our greater self. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. Again, Dr. Howes, thank you so much for being my guest today. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm just so thrilled that I'm able to have people like Dr. Howes on the show, because most of us, including me, don't have the hours in the day to be able to do research. And do you know, one of the sad things I feel that happens, and because I am fortunate enough to get material where I can share it with you and bring people to the show that you can learn from, one of the sad things is there aren't many people around double-checking on various aspects of chemistry and medical stuff, when this man is saying we have over 106,000 people that are dying because of properly prescribed medications, we have 8 million people that are affected in a detrimental way, we have record numbers of Alzheimer's situations that are developing, it's people like Dr. House that are studying the studies. Which ones are legit? Which ones are not telling the truth? And so many of us today have gotten to a point, one, we don't respect the people that are in positions of authority because they have shown that they really don't know what they say that they know. And the FDA has gone through some real scrutiny because they often don't have people that are qualified to make the decisions, and or they've been influenced by lobbyists or, you know, whatever. And when you hear the facts come out through various programs that for every person that is on the Hill in Washington, D.C., there are two lobbyists representing the pharmaceutical companies, it really gets to be scary. So it's important for us to be awake. It's important for us to examine. And I'm just like you. I want to have excellent health. I want to be able to live a vibrant life like a Dr. Norman Walker that I'm aware of. He lived to be 130 years of age. Well, he was very much into nutrition, but he also was into nutrition from foods that we could use, and of course he passed away at 130, but he had lived a life where he walked his walk and talked his talk. And I think each of us, we're under so much pressure, we've got such busy schedules, we're trying to achieve some, we've got children, we've got grandchildren, we're working, we're just very, very busy. And so we hear little bits and pieces of things, and often we assume that it works for us. Well, we have to remember we're individuals. I am a proponent of aloe vera. I just think it's one of the greatest things that has ever been discovered, and it's been a medical concept and a reality for wellness for a lot of centuries. However, I've got a friend that's allergic to it. She takes it. She gets violently ill. We'll have to go to the hospital more than likely. Now, how many of you know someone that's allergic to peanuts or something else doesn't sit well with them? We're all very different. So, as he said, you can do a blood test to find out your nutritional level, but at the same time, we need to take the position of responsibility of evaluating things, what works for us, what doesn't, listening to our bodies. And many times we can discern the truth, but it is a world that our ancestors never dreamed was possible. We are coming to realize that if we're not wise, we actually are poisoning not just our own environment, we're poisoning ourselves when we don't pay attention to what is going on. So we live in quite an interesting cycle of experience. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking, yes, 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 about the afterlife. We're going to be talking with Michael Tim, and he is just a fascinating person. His book is called The Afterlife Revealed, What Happens After We Die. And, of course, someone being sassy would say, well, you're still here. How can you tell us what goes on afterwards? Well, we'll find out. And then we're going to be talking about ghosts and spirits and hauntings on Friday. So we've just got a wonderful, wonderful lineup this week. I hope you'll tell your friends. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I realize we didn't open the phone lines today, but that's okay. We'll be here tomorrow where we'll be able to do that. But remember always, you are the person that must be alert to who you are and to what's going on around you. Be open to learning. Be open to reading, examining, questioning. It's so important. You could make a difference. Dr. House is one of millions who are trying to make a difference in this world by educating. You can do the same thing, too, but start with yourself first. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking to you tomorrow right here at vbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.